Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Rolene Marks, help me out here. Help me before I hurt myself.
Oh, you know I've got strong opinions on this one. I was very interested to see a poll earlier this week. Should there be a Jane Bond or a James Bond? And people overwhelmingly voted for James Bond. But, you know, putting labels or accusations like rape out there are very, very serious. First of all, we have to understand that James Bond is a politically incorrect fictional character, and people love him because he is a politically incorrect fictional character. But rape is a very, very serious accusation, and I think to anybody who has been a victim of sexual assault, you know, these kind of ludicrous allegations against, again, a fictional character who is politically incorrect.
And I really love the term.
Speaks volumes. And you know what? It's just left me very stirred and not shaken and in need of a martini.
And basically a rapist. All right. Let's move on. Let's move on to Israel discussions. And of course, high drama around the funding of the Iron Dome. Take us through the week that was and how it finally concluded.
Can I just like sound very spiritual for a second? You know, we're celebrating Sukkot, which reminds us that we in our darkest, most difficult times, we are always protected by Hashem. And if ever there was a week that we are protected by the Almighty, by Hashem, this is it. Just breaking news coming in now, 38 countries boycotting Durban 4. We'll get to that a little later, but Spain and Denmark added to the list. But let's talk the big news, which is what happened in the U.S. Congress last night. So earlier in the week, the news broke that the squad, and in particular AOC, that's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the representative for the 14th District of New York, pushed forward a motion that would exclude the $1 billion funding for Israel's Iron Dome. Now, the Iron Dome, as we know, is only defensive. The Iron Dome exists to intercept those rockets and projectiles fired from within Gaza by terrorist entities towards Israeli civilians. And the Iron Dome protects both Israelis and Palestinians, because how would you and I know what would happen if those rockets struck Israeli civilians? There would be mass casualties, which would make or would create a scenario where our army would have to go into Gaza, and we know what happens when we have to engage in asymmetrical warfare in Gaza. High casualties on both sides. So they wanted to block the funding of this. However, the House Appropriations Chair, Rosa DeLauro, she introduced the funding as a separate standalone bill, which went to a vote last night. Now, after the vote was, or the budget was scuppered by the squad earlier this week, our Foreign Minister, Yair Lapid, got onto the phone to the House Majority Representative, Steyn Hoyer. Hoyer said it was a mere technical glitch. You know, the allyship, the bond between our two countries is absolutely unshakable and ironclad. So last night it went to the vote, and I'm very, very proud to say that the majority, and I've got the results in front of me, we had 380, I can't count here, so I'm just going to go to
where I'm going. No, make up the numbers.
Okay.
I do.
Okay, so we had 420 on both parties voting in favor of the $1 billion funding. We had 9 no's, which of course included Talib and included Omar, included Cori Bush. What is fascinating is that AOC, who had pushed for this to be excluded, voted present. There were two votes.
What does that mean?
That essentially is almost like an abstention.
So why would she have done that? Surely she at least should stand by her convictions and vote no.
Well, this is fascinating. You know, they say that, you know, it's quite interesting that the minute that the representative Hank Johnson voted and like basically abstaining, she abstained as well. She was seen on the floor to be crying, and as somebody said on Twitter today, rather she be crying than the children of Stewart.
So was she crying because Israel is able to defend itself effectively?
Well, we don't know if she's crying whether or not Israel is able to defend herself now, or she's crying because she knows she's going to get some very, very angry exchanges from Talib and Omar, Presley and Bush and all the others that are not in favor of this happening. But, you know, what it has exposed and what has been called out, which was also fascinating to watch, is Rashida Tlaib taking to the floor, accusing Israel of amongst many things, war crimes and practicing apartheid. What was absolutely fascinating is the chair of the Foreign Affairs Committee, Representative Ted Deutsch, a Democrat from Florida, absolutely taking her to task and calling her basically an anti-Semite. This was echoed by another Democrat, Chuck Fleischman, also saying what you have seen on the floor today is anti-Semitism from a small but vocal minority within a majority. So the lessons that we can take from this week are that don't underestimate the agenda of the squad and their ability to time a direct hit. Also, what it has reassured us is that bipartisan support for Israel, and we have to include the Democrats, and I know there are many listening who, whenever there's an issue, immediately say, Democrats, and, you know,
we need to be more nuanced, because it's very clear that there is a distinction in terms of Israel's support amongst the Democrats, and it's not, in fact, largely the Democrats are very supportive of Israel.
Absolutely, and we cannot forget that. We can't forget that Representative Rosa DeLauro, who is the Democratic representative from Connecticut, who pushed this forward, she used words like ironclad allies and friends. She used words like moral and legal responsibility to ensure that Israel is able to defend herself. So this has sent a very strong message out to the squad as well. You can fire your missiles, so to speak, but Israel has another iron dome in the form of bipartisan support protection. And we've heard from representatives of our government, from Bennett, from Lapid, from our Defense Minister, Benny Gantz, expressing their gratitude and their thank you for that. And what was amazing for me to see this week is that once Haaretz, which is a very, very left-leaning newspaper, when their chief cartoonist draws a cartoon that basically paints the squad as anti-Semites, they may possibly be anti-Semites.
Yeah. Absolutely incredible, and I think this is very, very important. Do you think that this is a defining moment for the Democrats, where we've seen, you know, normally what we become used to is all Republicans vote one way, all Democrats vote another. We're now starting to see the split in terms of voting. Do you think this is a defining moment?
I do think it's a defining moment, because we heard even the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, also say, you know, we will not tolerate these kinds of attempts on the US's strongest ally. Look, we can't underestimate the squad, who have young people, especially on the woke end of the spectrum, completely wrapped around their finger. But, you know, as they say, the older you get, the more conservative you become. Obviously, the director of the Bond movie didn't get that memo. But there are many, many takeaways. I think it has laid bare for many in the Democratic Party exactly who they are dealing with the squad. It's not the Israel advocates or Jews around the world saying they are anti-Semites. They have now unequivocally been called out for that in the House of Representatives in the United States on a major, major bill. This bill has also, what happened in Congress yesterday, got incredible coverage around the world. I see the Independent in London picked up on it and various other major newspapers as well. So, you know, it's put them on blast. And what's been broadcast and what has been published are the words anti-Semitism, which is very, very important, especially given where we're sitting with statistics in the world right now.
Absolutely. Let's talk about, talking about anti-Semitism, let's just talk about the Durban conference. That ended with a whimper, didn't it?
It ended with such a whimper, and it's been a major diplomatic victory for Israel. You know, when it was made public that the 20th anniversary, known as Durban 4, you and I've spoken a lot about it, which was sponsored by South Africa. It's something, it's a point we can't forget. Cyril Ramaphosa opening up the proceedings to a virtually empty hall on Wednesday, the only statesman or world leader to do so, but it was boycotted and just really in within the last 5 minutes. I love breaking news with you, Howard. We have news that Spain is also a country that boycotted. So I think within the next couple of days, we're going to hear of more and more countries that boycotted it. 38 countries, that is a record amount of countries taking a principled stand saying we will not attend a farce that is going to descend into anti-Semitic Israel bashing chaos like it has over previous years. However, according to the Associated Press, who did have representatives reporting from proceedings on Wednesday, they said that Israel wasn't mentioned and apparently the Israel-Palestinian conflict was avoided, which is a very, very promising step.
But Ramaphosa did open with the statement about Palestine, didn't he? I thought he did, or well, maybe it was in a separate statement that he made that I read that.
We don't have the exact details of his opening statement in any of the coverage, nor do we have, interestingly enough, exactly who attended. We do know Ireland was there because we've seen in pictures Venezuela, you know, the great bastion of human rights. They were present in the room, and quite possibly countries like Iran, Syria as well, also great bastions when it comes to that fight on racism. But apparently those who were in the room, and this is what I find unbelievably ironic, did take a pledge to fight racism in all its forms, which is quite ironic, seeing that they didn't.
Which is how they got into this mess in the first place.
Exactly.
Yeah, incredible. So it certainly seems to be a tremendous victory, tremendous victory for those who are fighting anti-Semitism. So very good news, very, very good news indeed. And then tell us about this first joint Abrahamic statement at the United Nations.
I love this. This really has been a record week at the United Nations. So Bahrain put forward a resolution, a motion to the UN Human Rights Council, which discusses the role of women and how important it is to have women present and women's voices in peace processes around the world and in diplomacy. And this was the first major motion at the UN or anywhere where we've had Bahrain, the United Arab Emirates, Israel, and Morocco, joined by 46 other states, but as a small bloc together, putting forward this motion. And it's really, this is a phenomenal example of what happens when peace takes wing. You know, these are the priorities. It's giving a voice to women. It's being inclusive. And of course, it's bringing together this incredible bond between Abrahamic countries, and really, really a great moment at the United Nations.
Absolutely, absolutely incredible. I'm just going back now. I've just managed to find that tweet, and he says, the president of South Africa says, the rights of the Palestinian people to self-determination has been raised in this General Assembly for almost as long as the body has been in existence. This is what he had to say. He, of course, so then South Africa further reaffirms its solidarity with the Cuban people and calls for the lifting of economic embargoes that has caused untold damage to the country's economic development. South Africa, of course, insisting on standing on the wrong side of history, as we always seem to do as of late. So he's not calling for the embodiments of human rights for the people of Cuba, but rather supporting the Cuban government and, of course, the Palestinians as well. So continuing to just, I don't know, it's bizarre. It is absolutely bizarre. It's quite laughable, really.
Because those comments are to the UNGA, and we have the UNGA taking place at the moment. We're expecting Prime Minister Bennett to speak on Monday. It's the Super Bowl, as we call it in Israel, because we'll all be watching. But what is fascinating is that it's being said, it's stated quite unequivocally, that Prime Minister Bennett will not have any props on stage. However, will he quote Kermit the Frog like Boris Johnson did? Absolutely. You know, Bibi might have had his props, but Bojo had Kermit.